Chapter 20. The RV collection at Eltover. In the Hobby House, opposite the Eltover entrance, is installed one of the most interesting Indian collections of the world, a collection that would grace the National Museum of Great Britain, France, or Germany. The more intelligent the visitor to the Grand Canyon, the more he will find he can learn in this wonderful storehouse provided for his instruction and recreation. The Hobby House. The building itself is a perfect model of a block in the village of Araby, one of the seven Hobby Pueblos. It is 3 stories high, and contains many rooms. The original is supposed to accommodate 45 families. It is built of the chips of sandstone and other rock in accordance with Hobby custom, rudely and irregularly laid in mortar. It is of the terraced style of architecture, each story receding from the one below it, so that the second story front finds a ready courtyard on the roof of the first story front, and the third story front on that of the second story front. Houses that were forts. In the old houses, found when the white man first visited the Pueblos, there was no means of entrance to the first story save by means of the ladders which stood outside against the walls, and thence through hatchways made in the roofs. This was for the purpose of defense against hostile tribes, who were constantly warring with these home-loving Indians in order that they might steal from them the fruits of their persistent labor and thrift. The ladder, during times of expected attack, could be lifted upon the second story, out of reach, and thus these houses became the forts of their inhabitants. Nowadays entrances are provided on the ground floor, and this house at Eltover follows the modern custom, as well as the later innovation, which of course is essential in this building, of using glass for windows. For convenience and safety, another anachronism is tolerated in the electric light. In practically everything else, the building is a true model of a Hobby community house. With these people, the women are generally and mainly the builders of the houses, the men merely assisting in the heavier work. Quaint stairways. In addition to the quaint ladders, quainter steps, cut into flatter round trunks of cottonwood trees, are used. Stone steps connecting the 2 upper stories are also built outside in the partition walls. The chimneys are constructed, in true Pueblo fashion, of pottery water ollas, the bottoms of which have been broken out. 3 or more of these, fastened with cement or mortar, are placed one above another. On the roofs are wood piles, as at Araby, and also picturesque strings of red peppers drying in the sun. Navajo silversmith. The entrance doorway is low, and the steps lead one down into the first room, in true Araby style. This room is occupied by the tin peshlikai, or Navajo silversmith, and Navajo blanket weavers. The smith, though using some modern tools, still follows the time-honored methods of his brother craftsmen. The silverware he makes will be more fully described in the special chapter devoted to the subject, as will also the blanket weaving of his wife and children. Details of construction. In this room there are several features of interest. First, notice the construction of the building. The roof is supported by a massive upright, in a crotch, or V, on which the cross rafters rest. Lesser poles are placed upon these at right angles, which in turn support arrowweed, willows, and other light brush. In the genuine Hobby construction, mud is then plastered or laid thickly over these willows, but as these rooms contain valuable collections of goods, a modern roofing has been used, which, however, does not in any way detract from the realness of the building. Fireplace. In the corner is one of the quaint hooded fireplaces, with the raised hearth, exactly similar to several I have sat before in Araby, while my hospitable hostess prepared some Hobby delicacy or substantial food, to tickle the palate or appease the hunger of her welcome guest. Mealing stones. On the left is a quartet of corn grinders, walled in from the floor by stone slabs laid in cement. In every Pueblo house, a addery of these mealing stones is to be found, and it is one of the commonest of sights, to find the women and girls on their knees, with the grinder in hands, rubbing it briskly up and down with the swing of the body, while every few moments, with a deft movement of the hand, the grain is thrown between the grinder and the stone beneath. The motion reminds one much of that required over the washing board. While thus at work, the Pueblo women sing some of their sweetest songs. Hair dressing. Occasionally when a Hopi mother, whose daughter has reached maidenhood, is located in the Hopi house, one may chance to find her engaged in turning the heavy black hair of her Ana into the big whorls on the side of her head which are the Hopi emblem of maidenhood and purity. The mother herself wears her hair in two pendant rolls. These are the symbols of fruitfulness and chastity. It is interesting also, to see them make pikey, a process elsewhere fully described. Various baskets. In the various rooms on the ground floor, the observing and curious will find quite a number of quaint architectural devices. The chief attractions to most visitors are the various Indian goods. There are baskets made by every Indian tribe in North America, Navajo wedding baskets made by Paiutes, and used also by Apaches as medicine baskets, Havasupai, Pima, Hopi, and Kachina plaques, Hupa and Poma carrying baskets, Haida, Maca, Mescalero, Apache, Mission, Chemehuevi, Washo, and a score of others. Here are pinion-covered water bottles of Navajo, Tuzje, Havasupai, Isua, and Apache, Tisailaha. Note the vast difference in the native names for practically the same thing. Hopi Kachinas. The Hopi Ethnologic Collection on second floor is the best in the world, with the exception of the collection in the Field Columbian Museum, Chicago. In this collection are a large number of Kachina dolls. Of these Kachinas much might be written. They are ancient ancestral representatives of certain Hopi clans who, as spirits of the dead, are endowed with powers to aid the living members of the clan in material ways. The clans, therefore, pray to them that these material blessings may be given. It is an almost universal idea of primitive man, says Fuchs, that prayers should be addressed to personations of the beings worshipped. In the carrying out of this conception, men personate the Kachinas, wearing masks, and dressing in the costumes characteristic of these beings. These personations represent to the Hopi mind their idea of the appearance of these Kachinas or clan ancients. The spirit beings represented in these personations appear at certain times in the Pueblo, dancing before spectators, receiving prayer for needed blessings, as rain and good crops. Poamu and Naiman. The Kachinas are supposed to come to the earth from the underworld in February and remain until July, when they say farewell. Hence there are two specific times which dramatically celebrate the arrival and departure of the Kachinas. The former of these times is called by the Hopi Poamu, and the latter Naiman. At these festivals, or merry dances, certain members of the participating clans wear masks representing the Kachinas, hence Kachina masks are often to be found in Hopi houses, when one is privileged to see the treasures stored away. In order to instruct the children in the many Kachinas of the Hopi pantheon, taihas, or dolls, are made in imitation of the ancestral supernal beings, and these quaint and curious toys are eagerly sought after by those interested in Indian life and thought. Dr. Fuchs has in his private collection over 250 different Kachina taihas, and in the Field Columbian Museum there is an even larger collection. Kachina baskets. For use in the Kachina dances, Kachina baskets are made, and if one were to start a collection of all the Kachina baskets of the Hopi, he could look forward to possessing, in time, as large a number as Dr. Fuchs has of Kachipa dolls. Indian poetry. Hopi, Acoma, Santa Clara, Zunai, and other pottery abound side by side with Navajo blankets, war clubs, bridles, quirts, moccasins, Sioux beadwork, pouches, and baby-carrying baskets. Not only can the Navajo women be found weaving blankets, but, what comparatively few white persons have ever seen, in one of the rooms, is a Hopi man weaving a blanket, which I question could be told from a Navajo, even by an expert, unless he saw it woven. In another room, the Hopi's wife is making pottery. During the day, time, when required, the attendants will gladly show visitors the collection of rarer curios on the second floor. An anachronism introduced here, to meet modern requirements, is the indoor stairway, but one excuses it for the sake of the interesting, symbolic, Kachina figures that have been painted on the staircase walls. Mexican antiques. Here one room is devoted to Mexican antiques, candlesticks, crucifixes, paintings, tapestry, bells, incense burners, wooden plow, a model of the ancient Kerta, chairs, daggers, etc. Alaska Room. The Alaska Room contains models of totem poles, carvings on ivory and wood, boats, snowshoes, shields, baskets of several varieties, Haida hats, etc. Ancient blankets. The old blanket room contains an assortment of the rarer and older Navajo, Mexican, and Chamilo blankets, some of which are in the exquisite old colors used before modern aniline dyes were known. Scattered about also are some rare pieces of ancient pottery in black and white, dug out from ruins in Arizona and New Mexico. Hopi Altar Room. By far the most interesting room in the house to the thoughtful inquirer is the Hopi Altar Room. Here are two reproductions of altars made by the ethnologist, Rev. H. R. Voth, who was led to his study of the Hopi while a Mennonite missionary to the Oribe Pueblo. These altars are thus described by him. Tau Altar. One of the fraternities among the Hopi Indians of Arizona is the Tower Singer Society. Such altars are erected in connection with the sacred and secret ceremonies in underground rooms, or kivas in the different Hopi villages. Around these altars the priests arrange themselves, squatting on the floor, during their ceremonies, and engage in singing, sprinkling of sacred meal, smoking, aspersing of sacred water, etc. Here they prepare their prayer offerings, utter their prayers, and practice numerous other religious rites. Of the slabs and sticks in the ridge of the altar, those of a zigzag form represent lightning, which is supposed to emanate from clouds, which are represented by the terraced parts on top of the slabs. The flat slabs symbolize stalks of corn, with ears of corn carved on them. The thin sticks are supposed to represent the departed members of the society. In front of the slabs are seen four bejos or prayer sticks, composed of two short sticks, a turkey feather, two kinds of herbs, and corn husk pocket containing sacred meal and honey. The object to the right, and in front of the ridge, is the tippin or sacred badge of the society. It usually consists of an ear of corn, wound with cotton twine, and having on its top feathers of different birds. To its sides are tied sundry pieces of shell, turquoise, and other objects. In front of the altar stands a medicine bowl, which is surrounded by six ears of corn, a yellow one on the north side, a dark bluish one on the west side, a red one south, a white one east, a black one on the northeast representing above, and sweet corn ear on the southwest representing below. From this bowl, sacred water is aspersed, and from a meal tray sacred meal is sprinkled on the altar during ceremonies. Poamu Altar. In the center of the Poamu Altar is the framework. The four scenic circles on and over the headpiece represent clouds, and the symbol on the uprights blossoms, clouds, falling rain, etc. The larger of the idols within the framework represents Chowilan, the god of germination and growth, the smaller one, Satu Kananguin, the god of thunder, and the small, black figurine to the left of the framework is the representation of Pukong, the god of war. Between these idols stand numerous slabs, the zigzag formed representing lightning, the straight one stalks of corn, etc. On each side of the altar proper stands a large wooden tablet, on which is drawn a picture of the Ivkachina, a personage that figures conspicuously in the ceremony on the sixth day, in which children are initiated into the Kachina order. On this occasion, masked and gorgeously dressed men, who are supposed to be represented by these pictures, flog these small candidates for initiation. In front of the altar, may be seen a square, sand picture, containing cloud symbols, prayer offerings, blossoms, etc. Between the sand mosaic and the altar proper are rattles, a medicine bowl, ears of corn, meal trays, eagle feathers, and other objects. The large object at the extreme left, consisting of a terraced tablet at the top, several zigzag sticks, and a stand at the bottom, represents clouds and lightning. The tablet and also the drawing in the upper part of it represent clouds, the crooked sticks lightning, and the two circular drawings, in the lower part of the tablet, symbolize blossoms. The small idol between two of the sticks, is a figurine of Choilan. The symbol to the right of the altar on the back wall, consisting of several semicircles, is that of towering rain clouds, with two rays of lightning emanating upward from it. The small, black lines on the lower border represent rain. To the left of the altar, on the same wall, appears the typical Hopi sun symbol, and on the left side wall that of the mythical water serpent, Balalakang. All of these wall pictures, however, are not an essential part of the altar. This altar, like the one of the Tao Society, was reproduced by Mr. Voth. One of the subjects of his study was this altar and the various ceremonies connected with it, and while he was making these studies he succeeded in obtaining the photographs, drawings, measurements, notes, etc., from which he reproduced this elaborate piece of sacred Hopi ceremonial paraphernalia. Hopi door. The door itself leading into this altar room is an interesting antique. It is a real Hopi door, brought from Arabia, and supposed to be not less than 150 years old. Its quaint method of swinging, the way it is put together, and fastened with nothing but rawhide thongs, reveals, as few things could, the interesting inventions of necessity. Prior to their knowledge and use of doors, which they undoubtedly gained from the Mexicans, their doorways were closed by slabs of rock, as described in the chapter on the first discoverers and inhabitants of the Grand Canyon. Those who have read that chapter will find many things of especial interest in this fascinating house. Value of Hopi House. The Hopi House is in itself a liberal education in the customs, arts, history, mythology, religious ceremonials, and industries of not only one, but many tribes of Indians. It is not only a good business investment, but a place of benefit to which one should go prepared intelligently to study. Such an one will come away with a keen appreciation of the incomparable ethnological advantages this building affords him, and he will not grudge any purchase, however large. The attractiveness of the display has led him to indulge in dances in the Hopi House. Every evening throughout the year, when a sufficient number of visitors are present to justify it, the Indians of the Hopi House give a few brief dances and songs, which faintly suggest the style of some of their more elaborate ceremonials. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.